Christmas first for some families. Got a lot of visitors here tonight, and on behalf of the congregation, my name's David, and I just want to say hi and welcome. It's good to have you all here, and we know, at least in our family, we got some folks that came a long ways to be with us, and so if you're in that category, you're an honored guest, and if you're just visiting just to visit, you're an honored guest, so I want to say thanks for being here. Christmas and the Christmas season is an interesting thing in my mind to consider. All right? So I want to take you back to a place in your mind just for a moment on some of your favorite memories of Christmas. Favorite memories of Christmas. Maybe some of those memories are the smell of fresh cookies baking in the oven. Maybe for some of you it's a type of pie. Maybe you ever walk through a store or an area and there's kind of that cinnamon smell, maybe some nutmeg, you know, just spice in the air. How about snow on the ground? Does anybody have fond memories of snow being on the ground around Christmas time? Just memories. Yeah. Lasting memories, absolutely. And we're going to talk about that tonight. Maybe it could be a certain chill in the air, right? We get that nice, brisk, cold chill down where we actually kick on the heater for a couple of days, maybe drop the temperature, you know, to maybe some of you light fires in your fireplaces. All these things around Christmas. Maybe it could be the excited night, the night before Christmas. I remember times where I just felt like I couldn't sleep the night before. Even at our house, Callan was very jazzed up the night before, stayed up a little bit later than normal. Maybe it could be the excitement on Christmas Day, seeing a child, just wild excitement in their eyes, not sure what to expect, but hoping for amazing things. And maybe it's that same thought about seeing grandchildren with that same excitement. We go through a lot of work to create a certain atmosphere and mood around Christmas, don't we? Around the holiday season, we play different music, we do different things. What I've observed is the following, and this may or may not fit you. We'll decorate homes. How many of you put up lights throughout the rest of the year to shine off red and green and blue flickers and Rudolphs? And it only happens one time a year. We'll decorate trees. We'll pull them down from wherever we have them stored, or maybe we'll go off to some tree farm or to a forest and we'll cut down a natural tree. We'll create Christmas cards. We'll mail them out. We'll create a long list of folks that we want to maintain contact with, and we'll send them out a Christmas card. We'll make special desserts. Anybody have some favorite Christmas time desserts that you always look forward to this time of year because it's the one time of year you'll indulge in this particular dessert? We'll make special dinners and special lunches. In fact, not only are we going to make these special dinners and special lunches, we'll plan out meals together with family and friends, some of which we may only see once a year. And when we're invited on this time, we'll actually show up. We'll travel long distances. Perhaps we'll get in a car, maybe we'll get in an airplane, maybe train or bus, and we'll travel long distances to see folks that only this time of year we do. We'll take vacations at work. This time of year is always fascinating to me, no matter what industry I've ever been in. Folks between Christmas and the New Year normally don't work as long as normal. We'll buy presents that we've thought about. We'll take great time and great care to consider what somebody else might like, and we'll go out and we'll purchase those items with that person in mind. We'll focus on family. We'll take time out and we'll try to slow things down, even though as chaotic as it is, we'll try to take time out and just have some dedicated family time. We may even volunteer at a community organization. We may go somewhere and feed some families. We may donate to Toys for Tots or participate in some type of Santa giveaway at homes around the area. Very simply said, we try to make it special. We go through great care and great concern, and we create all this ambiance and all these things to help create an atmosphere. I want us to look tonight in Matthew chapter 14. As we exit the Christmas season and enter into the new year, I want us to consider for a moment some areas of our lives, maybe aspects that we might want to focus on. Are there some areas where we need to create something special? I'm going to list out a few things and then we'll get to our verse. When asking about these things and something special, I mean something with substance. Not some superficial, arbitrary, whatever. I mean something with substance. Is there something related to your spiritual health that you would like to consider? Could it be something related to your marriage? Could it be your personal health? A pursuit of dreams, your service to others, creating healthy family memories. Something of substance. And not that this is some type of goal setting or what is that list everybody makes every year? Resolution? Yeah. Not that it's one of those types of lessons. But chances are, this is a time of year where folks slow down and they reflect on what the year was and what the year could be in front of them. Chances are that if you're like me, in one of those areas that I just listed off, you need to do some work in those areas. So here I have some things that I try to keep up with where I think about these things throughout the year. And I've got different categories that I want to touch on. I want us to look at a few examples where Jesus made some lasting memories. And the purpose of our conversation tonight and the lesson that I want to drive home is that we do a lot of things around Christmas to create special memories because they're important. They're long-lasting. All of us have something in our lives where we look back and we think about those really special times. And it may not be around Christmas. It may be around some other type of year, some other time of year. All right, so in Matthew chapter 14, that's where I asked you to turn, we find out a few things about Jesus here. He's going to learn about John the Baptist's death. He's going to heal the sick. He's going to later feed a crowd of people. And he's going to top it off by walking on water. Now, this could have been a period of significant grief and fear among Jesus and his followers. That if John the Baptist, who had gained great popularity, had been beheaded, what could be said for those who followed him or somebody that was said to be greater than he and Jesus? This could have been a period of great grief and great fear, and yet what we read about starting in verse 13 is this. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Now, in our congregation, we've had a series of lessons on these particular aspects. But at this moment, Jesus stopped and had compassion on the crowd. In a time where anyone who's ever experienced grief or concern or fear know the emotions that can paralyze you. And yet, Jesus responded in action. And then we go on further in verse 22. Jesus made the disciples get out into the boat, go on ahead of him to the other side, and while he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the water, or walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified, thinking it was a ghost. They said and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." And Peter responded, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to go to come onto the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. Now, we read about Jesus withdrawing multiple times here. But think about the impact of these moments with the apostles, with the disciples there. And the way that he continues to try to rejuvenate himself through withdrawing and praying in a solitary place, but reaching out and meeting people's needs. We follow that in Mark chapter 4. I want to look at another example of Jesus making some lasting memories. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus explains in parables to the audience. He relates with stories and illustrations for folks to understand. And after this, he'll explain the parables to the disciples. Mark chapter 4, we'll start in verse 34. We'll start in verse 33, sorry. With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable, but when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. That day, when the evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." The wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who's this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." So we have two different sections of Scripture that I've referenced in Matthew chapter 14 and here in Mark chapter 4. And in this particular part, Jesus is out teaching in parables. And reality is, even nowadays, most folks learn and understand from stories. Jesus took the disciples aside and continued to teach them and explain to them things. And after that, they go out on the water and they're freaked out from the waves crashing over. And he rebukes the wind and the water, the waves. Now, I want you to picture yourself there. Do you think you would forget those moments? If you were to take a snapshot in time, in your mind, a visual remembrance of any of these events, can you imagine how you would be left with those in your mind? Even now, I try to visualize those things. I look out and I try to imagine what it would be like on any lake to see a storm come up and waves crashing over. And I think back to a time where I was at Canyon Lake with a friend of mine, and we were young children, and a storm just appeared over the lake, and there were Girl Scouts out canoeing in the lake, and they started being blown out further and further into the lake, and they were all separated in their different boats. And you started hearing crying, and then you started seeing lightning and panic. And we were 7 or 8 years old, and we saw folks go out on jet skis, and we saw folks go out just on a raft and pedal out to the girls and help bring them ashore during this storm. And that's what I picture whenever I think about this story and this illustration of the power that Jesus had over these things. Jesus made lasting memories with all those that he came into contact with. After learning of John the Baptist's death, he healed the sick, fed the crowd, and topped it off by walking on water. Here he taught and taught and taught. And then he took aside his closest followers and continued to teach them and break it down to where they could understand. He fostered relationships with those around him that would last a lifetime. And those relationships and those memories have forever shaped our world. How many times do you think after his death and after his resurrection that they thought about those times that they spent with Jesus? The opportunity awaits us. It's up to you and I. Not to say that every single interaction or every single relationship should have these types of dramatic memories instilled in minds. But we should seek to create lasting and important memories that will serve people long after we're gone. Do we ever look beyond ourselves to consider those? I know that there have been times where I think back to things that my grandfather taught me. And he passed away in 2001, and I still reflect back on those things that he taught and instilled in me. Things that I never really picked up at the time, but whenever issues came up or challenges came up, I reflected back to some of the things that he taught me or the example he left me. I have many more of those from different people that took time out of their lives to just stop and have a conversation with me to encourage me. As was said this past Sunday, Corey had a very detailed lesson about dads and men being present in the lives of those around them. And I don't think that sentiment could be echoed any more clearly, that we should be present in the lives of those around us. We should be bold. We should be dramatically different. We should be people of action. We should show love unendingly. We should show mercy. And we should do all these things so that we can impact those around us for the glory of God. Tonight, I want to challenge you to decide to act with intention in your life. Whenever you get to interact with those that are important to you or you come into contact with folks, decide to act with intention and with purpose. Decide that you're going to actively choose to make a positive impact on people you encounter. Decidedly choose that you're going to make everlasting memories that are going to last generations. They're going to last a lifetime. And lastly, decide that you're going to be the change that you want to see. If there's an issue or there's a problem or there's a brokenness and you want to see it changed, be that change. Our Lord came and he walked among people. and he endured hardship and pain, and he became the change for us. So tonight, as we gather here together, I want to challenge you to create lasting memories. Be there for whoever it is that's in your life. If you see somebody that's in pain or struggling, don't be afraid to offer a helping hand. And don't just think about creating special moments and memories just around Christmas. It's a lot of fun. There's a lot of excitement. There's a lot of smiles. There's a lot of neat attitudes that come around Christmas because so many people want it to go off great. And I just wonder what it would be like around us if we chose to live that way every day of our life. If there's some way that we can encourage you tonight, we've got a song picked out. I'm going to ask you to stand up and sing, and if there's something we can do for you, whether it's prayer or encouragement, won't you come?